right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down impossible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics, he can't fight? Shit! I'll fucking take all you want!
Yo, Chief,
you can't stop me from rapping, Kenny. Kenny Hop. I spit it through the
behind
wire,
the wire.
There's too much stuff on my heart right now, man.
Yeah, boy!
Every week.
What?
It's an accent.
That's an accent? What accent is that?
Ghetto.
That's a ghetto accent?
That's Ebonics accent.
That's an Ebonics accent? You're just racist.
I'm not racist.
You think just because I say something like yeah, boy, or yo. That
I didn't call Kanye any terrible names because he beat up a little white girl like some other people
he
did.
Didn't beat
like
up.
Our president.
He didn't beat up.
Call him a jackass.
He didn't beat up anybody.
Well,
I'm not defending him. What I'm saying is, I think he's lucky Jay-Z hadn't arrived yet. Because I think if Jay-Z had been sitting in the audience, he might have taken Kanye out.
Or Fitty.
Was Fitty there? I think he was there.
I don't know. I know Fitty said that if it was him, it would have been different. And apparently Pink said the same thing. So.
Oh, Pink pretty Pink much going to kick his ass the next time. Next time she sees him anywhere. Yeah, so this is Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
That's
not
the rumor.
To be confused with the MTV Video Music Awards. Nobody ain't interrupting anybody on this fucking show.
No.
And we're calling this one Introducing Low in the Mix. Yeah.
We're working on it. We know it's an issue.
As he screams
everybody,
into it.
People are emailing, posting on message boards.
So, all right, let's let's acknowledge the fact that we know we've had some technical issues over the last two episodes with regards to the producer here at the show, Just Mike, or as he now likes to be referred to, Low in the Mix, or you may call him DJ Lit M.
DJ Lit M?
Yeah, L-I-T-M, Light. Low in the mix.
I got it. Oh,
and
that's great.
Lit M. See, so DJ Lit M. That's how they come up with all those stupid names. With stupid shit like that. Why can't we do it?
Well, you know what? It is a free country.
Thank you.
That's all I have to say.
You know what I find amazing? That he's been here consecutively. So
3 weeks.
We'll take the mic issues.
I think 3 weeks.
And despite the fact that we were unable to fix the mic issues, we do have a slamming new intro.
That's true. Did you hear that thing?
Slamming.
Yes, and we have many, many people to thank for that, including
many persons.
One, Rock. Are we supposed to say that out loud?
I don't know.
Well, whomever it was that helped us with, you might hear a few new production pieces here.
I think so.
Hey, I warned everybody that this shit was coming.
I know.
I warned everybody.
We've been bracing.
I know.
The changes, they are a-coming.
And wait, and then all of a sudden we'll be doing live shows and people will be like, what the fuck? And I'll be like, I fucking told you that this shit was coming.
Yep. People will start dying when you do Big Kev's Eat stuff, but I know that's down the road, so I don't have to worry just yet.
Do we have to rehash this again?
That's 2 weeks
there,
in a row.
There is a terrible economy right now. There is some situations in the country. Financially, Big Kev's Eat stuff is not ready to launch at this time, and that's why it hasn't happened. What?
Okay.
There's millions of companies all over the country that are closing and everything else. A lot of people out of work and everything. Oh, but I can just, what, keep this and the other one going as well?
No.
I'm just saying.
I understand.
I think you should be thankful, OG, that I picked this enterprise over Eat Stuff.
All right.
Because else you'd be doing OG responds to Kevin eating at Gordon Ramsay's restaurant in New York. I think Kev was totally off about the pasta salad.
There like, will never if, come such a day.
I know. They would never serve as pasta, salad at Gordon Ramsay restaurant. But that said, let's hit this thing, and then we'll go into the news.
Geek stuff. What's in the news?
Fancy.
New production, sir.
Fancy, fancy. You know, since we're going into the news, and we were just talking about the terrible things going on in the economy. You know what else is being affected by the economy?
What?
Star Wars Galaxies.
Uh-oh.
We're going right into it.
All right. Let's go.
All right.
Please tell me it's dead.
No. They are canceling 12 servers.
Uh-huh.
All right.
They're condensing.
Right. So that's pretty significant.
Right.
But really, and that's sad, you know, if you are still a fan of the game, that's sad. But
you're
really
fan of the game.
Saddest.
You're the fan of the game. Get off the short bus and pick a new game.
Yeah.
The only fan.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, that the only fan has something to look forward to in an upcoming new expansion for Star Wars Galaxies. Brace yourselves, kids. It's a doozy.
Okay.
It's going to be called Death Troopers. And it's introducing zombies into the Star Wars galaxy.
Oh, my God.
Zombie troopers, zombie aliens, zombie Wookiees. You name it, zombies coming to galaxies.
Wow.
It's
amazing. If they could just figure out a way to stick Green Lantern in that game, who's really hot right now, too, or guys with claws popping out of their fists, you know.
First of all, there's a book that's coming out first.
Of course
that's going to be called Death Troopers.
Oh, yeah. We actually, in San Diego, they had a big thing about the book. Remember they had that Stormtrooper helmet bloodied and hanging on a hook?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember something about that.
Okay. So then this expansion is a tie-in with that comic release. With
it's
that
not a
book.
Comic, sir.
Oh, it's just a book.
It's a novel.
Well, with the book release.
It's a horror Star Wars novel.
And it's the zombification. The zombification of Star Wars Galaxies.
Unbelievable.
It's a sad day.
No, it's just the death knell. Like, if it, you know what? It's been on life support for like 3 years now. And this is just, I mean, this is just, it's sinking lower and lower. And I don't think we're going to get them back. Now, that said, is there any news on this Knights of the Old Republic game? DJ Lit M and I were discussing this earlier because I was reading something in Star Wars Insider about a Knights of the Old Republic MMORPG. Do you know anything about that?
We haven't heard, or at least I haven't heard anything about that recently. That's kind of been, I don't want to say dead, but it's kind of been dead. I don't know what's going on. I mean, I think that Sony.
Well, it's definitely coming. It's coming from LucasArts
and Sony, presumably.
It's not Sony.
Oh, it's not Sony?
I think it's Mind's Eye.
Its developer is BioWare Austin.
BioWare, that's what I meant. They're not. All I know is LucasArts and BioWare, Star Wars The Old Republic. And I don't know anything else about it other than that. What I'm hoping is that they're adopting. that they might choose to adopt, shall we say, that they might choose to adopt the D&D model we discussed last week, where it's free play, but in order for premium things, you might have to pay some individual prices for some play levels or equipment or something like that. That would be a good model at this point for any Star Wars game, because there's no way anyone's paying monthly. No one worth their salt is paying monthly for Galaxies, and especially with this zombie crap. All I see from that is an upswing in WoW people
right
coming over. But I think if they went into this game with an entirely new model, I think it might do well for them.
Well, it was about almost a year ago where they announced the game, October 21st, 2008. So right. We haven't really heard anything. That's okay. Normally a bad sign.
Okay.
So I don't know.
I have a piece of news.
Go for it.
Marvel, in their infinite wisdom, has decided that they are joining in to the whole Blackest Night storyline.
What?
Yes. In fact, their version of Blackest Night is called Necrotia.
That's very creative.
And yes, and it's following the hit Messiah War, which I don't recall that being a hit. Necrotia is described as, when the dead and buried mutant past comes back to haunt the X-Men, can the combined might of three X-teams stop death itself? Isn't that almost exactly the description of Blackest Night?
I think basically they saw everyone getting crazy over Blackest Night and said, ooh, we do everything they do and they do everything we do, so why can't we fucking bring people back from the dead?
Well, we gotta have zombie mutants.
Zombies
then.
Bruce Wayne's skull and shit.
It's apparently an exciting, they describe it as exciting, which I think is a little presumptuous of them. Exciting new X event crossing over in X-Force, X-Men Legacy, and New Mutants. So there it is. And really, it's gonna start in October, and this nonsense is going to go all the way until March. So you got a long ass time. 5-6 months, I guess. Six months worth of this crap.
Half a year of wallet raping horseshit.
Yeah. Yeah. Damn shame. I don't understand why they can't just do their own thing. But okay. Hey, at least they can find it to the X universe.
Yeah,
and it's not spanning the entire universe like it is DC. So, yeah, but there it is, Marvel, the originators of good storylines.
I have some comic book related stuff news that you might be interested in.
Okay,
this involves one character that you are enamored with from the Whedonverse.
Really? Have you seen her?
Who? Willow?
No, Willow.
Yeah, Alison Hannigan.
Oh yeah, I guess she's okay.
Oh, are you done with her? Oh, you're going back to. Oh no, no, we're not talking about her.
Why aren't we talking about her? Did you see the video?
What video?
For Date My Avatar?
Yeah, we talked about it like 4 weeks ago.
We did not.
For Date My Avatar? We talked about it the week it came out. Yeah, man. We're already on the third episode of the new season.
We did not talk about that video.
We absolutely
on this
did.
Show.
We absolutely did.
No way.
We absolutely
what did.
What
did I say about it?
I'm sure it had something to do with being in love with Felicia Day.
Listen, first of all, what I didn't say about it, because we didn't discuss it yet, is the fact that I didn't think that she looked all that great in the video.
I think she looked amazing.
I know, but you like her all gussied up and hotted and tarted up like that, and I don't. I like her just plain, normal Felicia Day. You know, like a hoodie and jeans and like not all done up and, you know, like she was like really overdone in the video, I thought.
Okay.
This isn't to say that she doesn't have the most alluring eyes I've ever seen. You ever see them, Matt?
I have.
The first time I ate chocolate.
I'm
just like,
you're just so
unbelievable. Thing. Anyway, what were you saying?
Joss has a new Willow one-shot coming out. It's going to be a 40-page, one issue from Dark Horse, exploring the new Willow as she has become in the Buffy the Season 8. She's got some new power. She's got some new stuff going on. And
she got a new girl?
And this one shot is going to be exploring that.
New girl? New boy?
I don't believe so.
New boy and girl?
But I'm not
new
sure.
New couple?
I don't want to speak out of place. I'm not sure.
Are you not reading that book?
I'm reading the trades.
Oh, I see.
But I'm a little behind on the trades right now.
Marvel will be bringing us some more what-if stories that I wanted to bring to your attention. Now what this is Marvel takes an event or a significant moment in Marvel history and reverses it in a single story. What if Wolverine had, what was the Wolverine one, had become the head of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Something like that.
Something like that. I give him credit for being creative with it.
Sometimes. Yeah.
Sometimes
they're just
works,
stupid.
Sometimes it does not. Sometimes it's stupid.
Couple of ones to look forward to. What if the Skrulls had won?
Ooh.
Which I guess is, that's from the whole Skrull, are you a Skrull thing where everybody was a Skrull. What if the Skrulls had won will be coming. What if Gwen Stacy survived the House of M?
That's interesting.
I don't know the background on that one.
That's if she lived or not.
I thought Gwen Stacy died in like the 60s.
She died. That was what they say was the turnover of the Silver Age of comic books was when the Green Goblin killed her.
Oh.
I thought they already done that if Gwen Stacy lived. I could be wrong or not.
I don't think so. These are all one-shots, I should say, and there's five of them. They're coming in December. Also scheduled is What If the Heroes Lost World War Hulk?
You got me. I have no idea what would happen.
This one, however, sounds interesting. What if Daredevil died and was resurrected by the Hand? Like Elektra was.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That is an interesting story. That has some really interesting potential.
You'll find
potential.
One or two. In the
always one or two, but some of them are ridiculous. And finally, what if Jean Grey had returned instead of Colossus?
Ooh.
Well, I'll answer that one. It would have made a lot more fucking sense.
Not only that, is we'd finally have a superhero that stayed fucking dead.
God, wouldn't that be awesome?
It would have been nice if it was Colossus, too. I'm a Colossus fan, so it would have been nice to have him be the one.
That was dead?
It would be cool.
That stayed dead.
Yeah,
my
I agree.
My favorite guy's dead.
You know, awesome. You know what I mean? Like, it would have led, like, credibility to him as Colossus. That
Absolutely.
Would have been good.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Murdoch.
Oh, God. And this would be the A-Team movie.
This is going to be the A-Team movie.
Oh, boy.
And we have a confirmed Murdoch.
Okay.
From District 9, the star of District 9, Charlto Copley.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure you said that right.
Yeah. Not even close, I'm sure. He kind of looks like Owen Wilson with less of a busted nose.
Okay.
And his hair's a little darker.
Okay. Okay. Well, we'll see. I almost am embarrassed to say that I have not seen District 9 yet, but I plan on correcting that little oversight this weekend, I hope.
So he joins the ranks of Liam Neeson, Rampage Jackson,
Bradley Cooper.
So,
well, there you go. There's your new A team.
That's your new A team.
Okay, well, I'm okay with that.
You're okay with that?
Yeah, I don't. You know what? They're gonna do it. They're gonna remake shit from the '80s that was on TV. This isn't the first; it's like the fifth one. So no one is surprised. You know, I just say start picking other shows and who would star in them. In fact. That brings us to this week's prize-worthy contest.
Uh-oh.
What television show from the 1960s through the 1980s would you resurrect as a feature film, and who would star as the major characters? So let me give you an example. If you said The Honeymooners, which does not qualify because it was a 50s TV show, and you said Cedric the Entertainer would play Ralph Cramden, and then whoever those other people were would play the other characters.
You would lose.
Not only would you lose, but I would find you and kick your ass. So, just to reiterate, this week's prize-bearing contest, meaning if you send us a entry and we pick it as the most creative and worthwhile entry, you will win a fabulous prize. And again, this week's contest, Pick a television show from the 1960s, 70s, or 80s that you would remake as a single feature film and who would star as the lead characters.
And we should say that we will accept entries for this contest up to September 29th.
That's
so
true.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Fabulous prizes are available. Prize is available. And you want to give us a call at the hotline.
Oh, I have to give the hotline?
425-920-6050. I don't need you.
Yeah, fine.
I don't need you.
I don't need you either.
Or you can email geekstuffog@gmail.com. That's geekstuff, letter O, letter G, at gmail.com with your entry. And you might win that fabulous prize.
This is all true.
So, just to close out on the A-team, we'll see what happens.
Okay. Masters of the Universe. Mm. Grayskull.
That back on the pitch.
Well, Warner Brothers and Mattel are divorcing when it comes to this movie.
Oh, really?
Mattel has decided to take the film franchise and shop it around to somebody other than Warner Brothers.
I know exactly where they need to go.
Where?
Roger Corman.
Oh, God.
Roger Corman. Just like his groundbreaking Fantastic Four film of the 80s, I believe that the Roger Corman He-Man movie will be a killer hit on underground bootleg DVD. Nothing to say, right?
What do I say to that?
You can't follow that, sir.
No, I can't follow it.
There's
can't
nothing
follow
to
me.
Say.
Can't follow me.
There's nothing to say.
Unfollowable. Well,
I'm like Hammer. Can't touch this.
Oh, please. D23.
Okay, now I have a problem with that.
What?
Because I don't think it's a number that will actually work on a die. How do you get the three extra sides on a D20? It doesn't make any sense.
It's a D20 and then a coin and then...
and then a coin.
No,
you know what it is. It's a D20
and then
plus
a
D4
minus
one.
D23 is the Disney Fan Expo that took place in Anaheim, California.
Uh-huh. Heard about it.
And at this expo, Disney had some stuff that they wanted to announce to us.
Ooh.
That I thought was appropriate to bring to this show.
Appropriate yet sexy. Lay it on us.
I'm not saying all that. All right, so we'll get to the Marvel stuff first. Bob Iger, CEO of Disney. Is it Iger?
I have no idea.
Igor?
I don't know.
That guy, who's the CEO of Disney, in regards to Marvel, said Marvel stays Marvel. He made like a little bullet list of things.
Uh-huh.
And the first is which Marvel stays Marvel, meaning they don't want to meddle. Marvel will continue to work independently of Disney.
Bullshit. I call bullshit on that one.
We're not calling Bravo Sierra. I'm not agreeing or disagreeing. I'm just reporting what he reported.
Okay.
He also said that Iger referred to the characters and storytelling in the Marvel Universe, saying that he recognizes good fictional talent when he sees it, and that well-known characters and weird stories and products that transcend gender and age and geographic territories is what Marvel is about, and is what Marvel will stay about. So it's all about story and character.
Uh-huh. Yep.
He also said, for now, and this was the joke bullet point, but no Tony Stark at the Haunted Mansion, or Spider-Man in Pirates of the Caribbean, no Incredible Hulk in It's a Small World.
Oh, that's all really funny.
We're not gonna see that kind of stuff.
By the way, I'm gonna send you a link.
Okay.
That was sent to us by Automatic Matt over in England.
Okay.
Of a website who have been hosting.
I've seen a bunch of those.
Some of those are maybe the funniest things I've ever seen. People have taken to photoshopping crossovers between Marvel and Disney, and some of them are riotously funny. Yeah. Like the Punisher one was a riot. It was a Punisher symbol, but it's basically the bottom half of the skull and the top half is like Mickey ears.
Yeah, yeah.
It was if they made a t-shirt of that today, I would buy it. I don't like either character. So that's how good it was. And then they had a couple other ones just really quickly. Actually, one more that really I liked was there were a couple of different Iron Man ones. Some classic Iron Man images that you've seen, like the one of him punching the ground,
right?
You know, yes, and another yes. another shot from one of the movie posters. But they've been Tron'd up.
Oh no,
to look like Tron. So go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com and in the section regarding this episode 163, introducing Low in the Mix, you will be able to see that link because OG will put it up there. You can click on it and enjoy them just like we did. Also, while you're over there, you can check out the image galleries, which have some related imagery to the topics that we talk about here on the show for you people that aren't listening on an iPod or QuickTime or iTunes. For those of you who are, you can always see those images pop right up on your screen, your iPod screen, your computer screen, while you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. That's a feature we really like here, and so we promote it.
Iger also reconfirmed the fact that Pixar and Marvel will be working together in some capacity to bring us some sort of projects together.
Duh.
In addition to that, we also got the name and potential release time frame for the new Pirates of the Caribbean movie. On Stranger Tides is going to be the name of the film, and it's set for summer 2011. They also announced a new Muppet movie that's going to be called The Cheapest Muppet Movie Ever Made.
Oh, boy.
And the most interesting thing I thought was
more than the Muppet movie?
Was not the Muppet movie. No. They announced a new horror label that they're working on. It's going to be called Disney Double Dare.
Disney Spooky Stuff.
It's going to be called Disney Double Dare, and it's being spearheaded by Guillermo del Toro.
Guillermo.
Really?
Yep.
So we're not going to see anything from that for 5 years at least.
At the very least.
Okay.
At the very least.
So we got time.
They also announced National Treasure 3.
All right.
The full-length Frankenweenie, which if you guys remember was the original Tim Burton stop-motion animation.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I'm actually looking forward to that.
And the Yellow Submarine in 3D. They're going to be redoing the Yellow Submarine, making a new movie, and it's going to be in 3D.
Sweet. We can have pot brownies.
Go
see it in IMAX. Hey, can I just ask a question?
Yeah.
About that. Can you back up? What was the, on that last bit of things, what was the first thing?
The National Treasure 3?
Yeah. Is that one written by Dan Brown? The guy that wrote, is anyone else like shockingly amazed about how closely the new Dan Brown book is being described, that it sounds exactly like both of the previous National Treasure movies?
Yeah, because they're dealing with the Freemasons in the new Dan Brown book. It's supposed to be just like it.
That's what I heard. Well, I heard it is exactly like those movies.
Well, but wasn't Da Vinci Code and what was the one before
Angels
Da Vinci
Code?
Angels and Demons. I mean, really, you could make the argument that National Treasure was just like those
just
movies,
like those
yeah. books. So really, I mean, at this point, they're just mimicking each other.
Trading off on each other. Yeah. I think, though, in the next National Treasure movie and in the movie that they make from this damn, what's it called, The Secret Symbol?
The Lost Symbol.
I think at some point, those two, was it Robert Langdon and whatever fucking Nick Cage's character is called? I think at some point in both movies, they need to run by each other.
I could say, I'm a big fan of that shit.
Like a cameo where they just run and they stop and look at each other and then just keep
going. Yeah.
That would be, in both movies, would be hysterically.
With that
never
with that
happened.
Flopping hair.
Yeah, I know. No, they trimmed the hair back for Angels and Demons.
Because
didn't they calm it down?
Everyone was making fun of
him. Yeah, well, they should have been.
Massive flop in the wind as he ran to a library.
Well, that said, I am looking forward to National Treasure 3 or whatever. I like those stupid movies. I don't care. I don't care that they're ridiculous. I like them.
All right. Let's stick with Nick Cage and Disney just a little bit longer.
Okay.
We have to talk about The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Okay.
Only because.
And why?
Because they brought it up at D23. It involves Nick Cage. We're kind of on a roll with this, so So why not go with it?
All right.
We know that it's going to star Nick Cage as the sorcerer, Balthazar. And The Apprentice is going to be played by Jay Baruchel.
Now, I know that guy. That's the guy who was like the young kid in Tropic Thunder.
That guy's in stuff we like.
And Knocked Up.
Fanboys.
Wasn't he Windows in Fanboys?
He was Windows in Fanboys. He's been in a bunch of stuff.
That's actually a really good choice.
Undeclared.
I think that guy's a really good actor. So,
I like him. He's funny.
He's gaining momentum, too. He's in a lot of shit.
Yeah, I liked him. I really liked him in Tropic Thunder, like, a lot. Especially during the scene where they were going back and forth. I'm a dude. I don't know what dude is. You know, that one. And he goes, what the hell are you guys talking about? Like, I really like him in that
flick. I like when he goes, fuck it. We'll deal with him later.
Yeah, exactly.
Just make him walk out.
Yeah, good. That's a good choice. So far, with the exception of Nicolas Cage, which we're just going to have to suffer through at some point, I think that doesn't sound like a terrible movie.
Okay, well, the mops are still going to dance. The mops are going to be in it.
Yay!
So, and for those of you that don't know what I mean, if you're not familiar with The Sorcerer's Apprentice from the original Fantasia, the dancing mops with the buckets, if you haven't seen that, you're living under a rock. Everybody
exactly.
has seen that
Who
at
hasn't
some point
seen
in time.
That?
Batman,
as you know, is a rich man who dresses up like a bat in order to fight crime. Yeah. Really? You don't say.
There's going
to
be a lot of action, a lot of magic effects. There's going to be a bunch of jokiness and humor. And
it's jokey.
And I suppose it can be okay, but not really. Not really.
Okay.
All right. Spidey.
The musical?
Well, we'll get to that.
Okay.
First, we have a confirmed May 2011 release for the fourth film.
Okay.
And I guess we had just learned that, Kirsten Dunst has now signed on?
I saw that today, actually, that she is officially on for the fourth movie.
DJ Lit M brought that to the table earlier.
So if you care about the Spider-Man film franchise still, there's some news for you.
There's reason to care.
Now, the musical.
Okay.
Apparently, it's back on track.
Apparently, Disney got out the paddles.
Now, I have tried to use some of our inside sources to confirm this.
Clear!
And have not heard yay or nay either way. But apparently, Evan Rachel Wood is still attached to the project.
And hot.
And the rumored name for the Green Goblin is Alan Cumming.
Yeah, I had heard that a while ago.
Which fucking sucks, because I love Alan Cumming, and I don't want to see this musical. But I may have to. Evan Rachel Wood, Alan Cumming.
If only for Evan Rachel Wood. And Spider-Man?
I still don't think we have a Spider-Man.
No, so no Jim Sturgis for sure?
No, I think that's definitely been unconfirmed
at
this point.
And not the super gay from American Idol? That was the other
No, again, I think that's also been unconfirmed.
Okay, terrific.
Okay. Couple more things. We're almost done.
Come on, let's go.
Last week, we talked about Lobo.
Uh-huh.
And there's an actor now who says that it would be cool to play the role.
I know who it is.
And he would be interested in playing the role.
I know who it is.
If... given the opportunity.
I know who it is.
Who?
Thomas Jane.
No.
In fact, I heard he got some makeup friends of his to make him up
to
as
look like Lobo
for some promotional shots to help his campaign to get the part.
No.
No?
No, sorry.
All right.
No. No, Thomas Jane would work as Jonah Hex, would not work as Lobo.
As Lobo's lunch. He would work as Lobo's dog.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan has expressed interest in that role.
Okay. Yep.
I can see him in that role.
If he plays the way he did as the comedian?
Well.
If that kind of tough, grungy type guy? Yeah.
But I think when in the interview where he mentions that he'd be interested in playing the role, he kind of makes that allusion that he could understand the translation and that it would be a good character for him.
Yeah.
And that he could see himself in the role. And I got to be honest with you, up until I read this, I kept saying to myself, who could possibly play that role? I could see him in that role.
Yeah.
Beefed up a little. kind of blued up with the long hair. I could see him in that role. The cigar, he already got the, doesn't Lobo have a little cigar too?
A little cigar.
So, little cigar. You know, I think that's the first name I've heard that could possibly work in that role.
Yep, I agree.
So, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, let's start the campaign now.
Okay.
They're going to make this shite movie.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan for Lobo.
Right. Okay. Next up in the DC animated world. Have you heard this yet?
Is it the Batman Superman one that's
Crisis on Two Earths.
What?
Justice League Crisis on Two Earths is what's next.
On Two Earths.
Two Earths.
Bruce Timm is the executive producer. Lauren Montgomery and Sam Liu are the co-directors. Lauren Montgomery worked on Wonder Woman and Green Lantern. Sam Liu worked on Batman, Superman, Public Enemies.
Let me put it out there. Which two Earths? That's what everybody wants to know right now. Which two fucking Earths is it?
A good Lex Luthor arrives from an alternate universe to recruit the Justice League to help save his Earth from the crime syndicate, a gang of villainous characters with virtually identical superpowers to the Justice League.
Okay, so the crime syndicate is definitely firmly established as one of the Earths, and I think it's Earth 2, I'm pretty sure. Oh. So I guess it's going to be the standard Earth and Earth 2 from the, and we should say DC has or had or still has, depending on whether I understand what's going on at DC or not, had many multiple Earths. And by multiple Earths, we mean that, you know, it allows them to tell stories about these characters without them actually being these characters. Superman Red Sun, rather than Superman landing in Kansas, he lands in Russia.
Right.
Batman Gotham by Gaslight. It's Batman, but he's in the Jack the Ripper era. Isn't that what that one is?
Yes. Or,
you know, things like this, which allow them to tell Elseworld stories. These are all considered other universes in which they may tell additional stories moving ahead. So the Earth 2, and I'm guessing Earth Prime, DJ Lit M, isn't that? Earth Prime, isn't that our Earth or the regular DC Earth?
I believe so, because Earth 2 Superman is now, he's in the new storyline with Blackest Night. So Prime, I believe. Well.
Yeah, I think Prime is our Earth.
I think Prime is like the regular universe.
Because the only thing I can think of is Superboy Prime and with the whole. Fuck.
Well, in Fuck. Any case.
Either way. Voice actors tied to the project right now are Mark Hammond as the voice of Superman, James Woods as Owlman, Chris Knopf as Lex Luthor, William Baldwin as Batman, Gina Torres as Superwoman.
William Baldwin as Batman?
No Bruce... Kevin Conroy?
Nope. No Kevin Conroy?
What the fuck is that?
I don't know.
Weak! And who's the dude that did Superman? That's a dude, that's a
Mark Harmon. He's from NCIS.
I know who Mark Harmon is, but who's the guy who did the Superman animated series when it was on and subsequent voices? Why the fuck can't they get continuity in these voices?
Has Conroy done the other Batman stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Outside of the series, has these new animated films, has he done them?
Yeah, he just
he did it
doing
in Public Enemies.
Public Enemies.
Gotham Knight, too.
Oh, he did Gotham Knight, yeah. And he did Arkham Asylum. Wasn't he Arkham Asylum?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Arkham Asylum had, like, I mean, it was Arlene Sorkin, it was Conroy. Yeah, that
was Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill, yeah, that was.
You know, there's no reason they can't have consistency in these voice acting.
Wow. I'd love to see an animated version of that game. Could you imagine
so
that
good.
If they figured out how to animate that storyline? Fuck, that's a good story.
Really, it's because they brought in a comic book writer.
Wow.
Why can't heroes didn't understand it? No one else understands it. Bring in someone that knows what the fuck is going on.
And on that note.
Angry.
I think it's time to take our first break.
Someone needs a pill.
I need a salad.
And with that, we will be right back. Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 163, introducing Low in the Mix.
Combo Breaker!
ComboBreaker.com makes original video game t-shirts that gamers want to wear. Head over to ComboBreaker.com to shop for original gaming t-shirts based on some of the best games ever made. From the classics to the soon-to-be classics, check out Combo Breaker's first round of shirts featuring designs inspired by your old-school favorites like Simon's Quest. Metroid, Punch-Out, and Star Fox. And just in time for the long-anticipated release of Street Fighter IV, pre-order your Raging Demon t-shirt now. But that's not all. ComboBreaker.com also brings you unbiased reviews and a damn good podcast to boot. So head over to the iTunes store, search for Combo Breaker, and subscribe today.
If you're in the tri-state area, pick up your ComboBreaker.com apparel at Digital Press Video Games, 387 Paget Avenue, Route 46 East, Clifton, New Jersey.
And for a limited time, visit ComboBreaker.com and enter coupon code GeekStuffXM during checkout for an extra 10% off your next order.
That's ComboBreaker.com for the best in original gamer designs.
You know it.
Combo Breaker!
Hey, this is Judah Friedlander, the world champion from 30 Rock and Stand Up, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, because you're a winner.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 163, introducing Low in the Mix.
Or you can call him DJ Lit M.
I am not calling him DJ Lit M.
I don't understand why. I'm trying to give him a cool name.
I am almost giving this microphone a blowjob right now, so...
That's good. Get it down there.
We are, for all the people on the boards and that called in, I could not be any fucking closer to this thing, so...
Ed, you could be intimately closer.
I could be very intimately closer.
Choking on it.
You could be Sasha Gray closer to
it. Sasha Gray.
That's all I want to say. That's all I want to say about that. I don't want to get off on a tangent about... all
right.
You know, anything that I enjoy, I'm just saying...
All right.
There's that. And I think we'll play this.
Geek stuff. Comic news.
Smell that? That's the smell of new comic books.
New production, sir.
It's fancy.
Yep. And we're going to talk really quickly. I just want to recap because of our mic problems. DJ Lit M was a little low in the mix, as they call him, last week. I just want to point out a couple of books from last week really quick, wrap-up style. The Complete Dracula number 3 from Dynamite. Freddy vs. Jason vs. Ash, The Nightmare Warriors, number 3. Red Robin, number 4. That story gets better and better, Mike, I think.
It started off slow, and now it's really hot.
Yeah. And Marvel's Project, number 2. Kick-Ass, number 7. And The Shield, number 1, which is the first book to come out of the Red Circle one-shots. This is the ongoing series, The Shield, with the second feature, Inferno. I really like that DC is doing that second feature on a lot of their books. I really feel like I'm getting way more bang for the buck.
Absolutely.
Out of a DC book than I am out of regular books. So, or not DC books, I guess. And Wednesday Comics number 10, also was last week, the broadsheet format. Doom Patrol number 2, which... again, second feature, The Metal Man. You couldn't ask for a better combination than those two. If you're not reading that, you're silly. And lastly, hardcover from last week, Marvel 1602 by superstar Neil Gaiman, Adam Kubert, and Richard Eisenhoff came out in a beautiful hardcover edition. I call it the Marvel Man money. That's what our Miracle Man money, because this is the project, of course, where money was supposed to go towards helping clear up Miracle Man for Neil, according to rumor. So that was last week's comics. I just wanted to hit a few of those just because of the problems last week. This week, however, there's a brand new crop of comics, if you can believe it. And they include Captain America Reborn, the story by Ed Brubaker, Brian Hitch, and company continues... what I guess is becoming the return of Steve Rogers.
That is correct.
And I understand the Red Skull is back as well.
Yeah, he is back.
Nobody stays dead in the Marvel Universe. I'm hoping you can tell me about this one too, DJ Lit M. This is Dark Reign the List Daredevil. What is this Dark Reign the List stuff?
It's a group of one-shots, I believe they're doing.
Okay.
So,
all right, and there it is.
Yes, fantastic. Of course, always on top of the situation is low in the mix, always on top of it. So there it is. It's a one shot. It's tying in, of course, to the Dark Reign stuff that's going on through Marvel now, which I guess is going to come to an end soon because what is it? Necrotia,
whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah, it's coming. Moon Knight fans, Vengeance of the Moon Knight number one has arrived with, I'd like to say, terrific artwork
by on the cover.
I don't know. I don't. It's Jerome Opeña.
No, the cover, Alex Ross.
Well, that's the cover, sir.
Well,
I'm talking
Alex
about the
Ross.
The inside, sir, is very good art, is what I'm saying. And yes, the cover. This is cover B. Actually, is Alex Ross. Cover A was by Lanil Yu and Jason Keith. So there it is, written by Greg Hurwitz, and as I said, Jerome Opeña has done the. What is the new story in here? I thought it was really good. And in the back, there's a reprint. I think it's a reprint origin. It is of Moon Knight number one from way back in the day. Bill Sienkiewicz, the artist on that book. Wow, that's old.
Yeah.
Do I have a sketch? Oh, I do have a Moon Knight sketch by Bill Sienkiewicz.
You do.
Don't I? Forgot about that. From Dynamite, Lone Ranger 18, Matthews Cariello with a Cassaday cover. This is a great book. It's got great art, great style, terrific story. I got to tell you, I'm pleased as punch with the pulpy stuff that's going on. Low in the mix, can you help us with what's going on in Batman and Robin number 4 out this week from DC Comics? Written by Grant Morrison, art by Philip Tan, which again, I have to say, it's some terrific art in this book. What's kind of going on in here with this story? Can you give us a little insight?
Well, number 3 ended with the pig monster, whatever the hell he is.
Uh-huh.
Basically, it's this book focuses more on the relationship between Damian and Dick Grayson. I want to make sure I edit the Grayson in there.
Because you love Dick.
So we didn't have a 10-year-old talking with Dick. But basically, the way the three arc story that Frank Quietly and Grant Morrison was about introducing the new villains and dealing with the relationship between the two.
Right.
And basically, the second one was where there was a holdup at the police station and Dick Grayson screwed it up and they're not doing things right. And then... Damian got kidnapped by the pig guy, and Damian got free, and then they, you know, this pig guy went to jail, I think they're probably using Blackgate now because Arkham Asylum got blown up.
But, right.
And then, you know, this piggy guy is at, you know, the prison and so on and so forth.
So there's a lot of stuff going on, and he's kind of having to find his way.
Yes.
Huh? Yeah, I really am enjoying that, and I think this takes it one step further now as the Red Hood and Scarlet.
Yes.
And that's all I'm going to say about that. Join the mix here. So that's exciting. Batman and Robin number 4. Very good. Check that out. And of course, Wednesday Comics number 11. This is the next to last issue of this great experiment by DC Comics. This is the broadsheet one-page stories we've been talking about. Printed on newsprint, like a newspaper. You open it up, you read it. Got all the characters you enjoy. Batman, Superman, Green Lantern, Metal Man, Sergeant Rock, Demon, Catwoman, Strange Adventures, and others. So you can, of course, check that out. Wednesday Comics, number 11 from DC. And finally, two trades to talk about this week. One from DC, one from Marvel. From DC, it's Kevin Smith. You may know him as the director of such fine features as Clerks, Clerks 2, Chasing Amy, Dogma, Jersey Girl, Zack and Miri Make Porno, and the upcoming Dicks.
Right.
Has written a Batman book called Batman Cacophony, with art by Walt Flanagan and some aid by Sarah Hope. This is the hardcover collection of that miniseries. And yes, so it's going to run you about $20. Nice for the bookshelf. Terrific story, I thought. Did you read this one, OG?
I did not.
You should. It's good.
I know.
And from Marvel, a strange little thing.
Yeah.
What is your problem?
It's a trade.
I know it's a trade.
It's a character I like. I could buy it.
I understand.
I could justify it.
Lo in the Mix and I laughed at each other today as we realized that both of us were actually buying a Spider-Man book. but it is actually Spider-Man Noir. This is that Marvel experimental sort of group of series where they're setting some of our favorite characters in a different universe and older. Are we saying it's kind of like the 40s?
Yeah,
sorta?
Like an L.A. Confidential
right.
type feel.
Kind of a universe.
Dumb shoe, yeah.
Yeah. And so that's what they're doing. Marvel, a little confused as the difference between pulp and noir, but that's fine. We'll let them go. The cover certainly looks noir. The story inside is definitely pulp,
yes.
But we won't split hairs. I heard it's a terrific story, and I have not read it yet. So both Lo in the Mix and I have bought the trade. I'm going to read it, and next week I'm going to provide a full comprehensive review of Spider-Man Noir.
And then you'll loan it to me, and then I'll go buy my own.
And we'll all be happy.
And all will be well.
Right.
So that's comics for the week.
Yeah.
And let's go right into this.
Geek Stuff. DVD News.
New production, sir.
You just like hitting buttons.
I'm just saying. I'm really happy with the new production. I want to use it. There it is.
All right.
Last week, again, a DVD that we overlooked would be the Bedknobs and Broomsticks, the Enchanted Musical Edition from Disney. Has some features on it, some new features. Recording session of David Tomlinson's Portobello Road, A Step in the Right Direction, which is a piece that was cut from the movie, and some other things. Disney stuff's always great. This is one of the better movies, I think, in the live action genre. It is one of the best movies in the live action animated mix genre,
yeah.
Which Disney did.
It's a classic from my youth.
It is. And you know what? The best part about it is not the animation mix, sir. I think it's the Nazis fighting the empty suits of armor at the end of this movie during the musical number Traguna Mokoitis Tracorum Satis D. I think is...
what he just said.
Yeah, that's what she said. Terrific movie, Bedknobs and Broomsticks, Enchanted Musical Edition. Check that out. Now, new this week, only two as far as I'm concerned. The first, of course, would be the complete second series, season, rather, of The Big Bang Theory.
Yes, sirree, Bob.
Yes, containing all of the episodes that you love. And a couple of special features include Physicist to the SARS, real-life physicist, UCA professor David Salzberg's consulting relationship to the show, and testing the infinite hilarity hypothesis in relation to the Big Bang Theory, season 2's unique characters and characteristics, as well as the gag reel, which I hope stars Kelly Cuoco, and I hope it's not just them screwing up takes on the... No, nothing.
If by I was there.
Gag
yeah,
reel.
Yeah, I was there.
No,
okay. I just wasn't
okay.
commenting.
Thank
I was
you.
Letting you.
I just thought that was...
I thought we were staying away from the porn, the Exotica convention.
I just thought it was really, really clever of me to go in that direction.
All right.
That's all I'm saying. And finally, I know I'll receive shit for it, but here it is. It's X-Men Origins Wolverine. I bought the 2-disc special edition. Which is basically one disc and a digital copy, which I don't understand why I keep buying these 2-disc special editions because, you know, generally they don't really have much other than a digital copy, which I don't use anyway. But there it is. It's got The Roots of Wolverine, a conversation with Stan Lee and Len Wein featurette, which I thought was an odd pairing. Wolverine Unleashed, the complete origins featurette. Alternate memory erase sequence. Ooh. Deleted and alternate scenes and commentaries and all the things you expect to find on a DVD of a movie that wasn't so good and is trying to recoup some of the money it lost by being released 2 weeks early on the internet. So there it is. X-Men Origins Wolverine. Now, OG, I'm gonna preempt you giving me crap about this and tell you I did not buy this on Blu-ray.
Okay.
Because I just didn't give enough shit about this movie to warrant owning it on Blu-ray.
I don't blame you for that.
Neither do I.
I also think at some point it will be in the $4.99 on Blu-ray category, and maybe at that time when I'm replacing my entire library with Blu-ray, which I'm sure will happen someday in the far distant future, that I will consider getting it then on Blu-ray.
Also out on DVD this week that may be of interest, Transformers Season 2, Volume 1. American Werewolf in London, the special edition.
I'm really upset that I didn't get that.
Star Wars The Clone Wars, TV series, Season 1, Volume 2.
Yes, which is called, is that called Clone Commanders or something?
It is called Clone Commanders.
I'm gonna
Commandos.
I'm going to tell people right now, if you're buying these discs of these split seasons, you're a dope. Because they've already announced that Season 1, the complete Season 1 of Clone Wars.
Will come out.
Is coming out, I think.
Before the end of the year.
I think November, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I don't get it. I don't understand why anybody would buy a not complete season. It's four episodes on that disc. Seems a little silly.
And last but not least, Army of Darkness, the Screwhead Edition. Army of Darkness, the movie with possibly the most DVD releases.
This has got to be
one movie.
It's got to be six or seven.
At the very least. At the absolute least. It's ridiculous.
At what point did you stop buying Army of Darkness re-releases?
I only own the
excuse me, Matt. I hate to cut you off there, but that is the D&D intro music that I'm hearing.
Yep.
And that means it's time for our D&D update for the week. Our continuing exploration of the Dungeons & Dragons 4th edition products and playthings, and we're very glad to be able to bring this series to you. If you want to check out more information on Dungeons & Dragons and the products that we're talking about in these segments, you can go over to dndinsider.com. That's letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com. And the fine folks at Wizards of the Coast will be glad to hook you up with all the information you need over there at that website. This week featured on our D&D segment here will be the Dungeon Master's Guide
Dose.
Yes. Now, let me tell you, I had some time to look at this one here, and I have to say, I appreciate what they're doing here with this book. They have made a book that tells you how to advance what you've already done in Dungeon Master's Guide 1. So, in Dungeon Master's Guide 1, you assume that you are starting out a campaign with some new characters, new people. Maybe some haven't played the game. Maybe you as a DM is very new and you haven't maybe done this before. And what they've now done is, in Dungeon Master's Guide 2, they're explaining to you how better to flesh out that campaign and how to bring it to the next level. And by level, I mean quite literally the levels they refer to as the Paragon tier, levels 11 through 20.
Ooh.
Yes, so this book particularly addresses concerns after you've reached level 11, how to keep the campaign going, keep the characters growing, new things to do with them, and so on and so forth. And from the flavor text on the back, because flum isn't a word. Thank you. I got it before you did. I'll say this. Dungeon Master's Guide 2 features advice and rules for Dungeon Masters of all levels of experience, with a particular focus on running adventures and campaigns in the Paragon tier, levels 11 through 20. It includes advanced encounter building tools, storytelling tips to bring your game to life, new monster frameworks to help you craft the perfect villain, example campaign arcs, a comprehensive look at skill challenges, and a detailed home base for Paragon Tier Adventures, the Interplanar Nexus of Sigil, City of Doors.
Ooh.
So they're now basically providing OG with the Shady Dragon Inn of levels 11 through 20 right here in this book.
It'll never be the Shady Dragon.
Well, no, it won't, because this is a whole city.
Right.
And great stuff. Advanced encounters, customizing monsters, adventures, skill challenges, group. I have to tell you that I really like about 30 pages of storytelling tips, What your players want, drama rewards, companion characters, your cast of characters, cooperative world building, replaying hooks, story structure. It's all about how to better involve the GM in making a more complete story or adventure for the player characters. I think that alone would be worth this book, and that's only the first 36 pages out of some 250, whatever it is.
Nice.
It's great. Paragon campaigns, they're going to teach you all about what's the next level for these characters. You know, these characters are no longer regular people in the world now. They're experienced.
They're seasoned veterans.
Right. They might be getting reputations and so on and so forth. How to build those things and maintain group coherency
the
in those.
Untouchable trio plus one.
Yes, thank you. Wow. Where'd you pull that from? Yeah, no crap. Customizing monsters, how to make villains. This is a great resource. And what's particularly great about it, I want to say again, is the fact that this book is not simply another set of rules that they haven't already covered. This book is about growing your campaign as a GM, how to direct your characters to grow, and so on and so forth. This is maybe one of the best presented pieces of role-playing minutiae, I think, that I have ever seen. This is exactly the sort of thing that they need to be doing. It's not as simple as, okay, we didn't include encumbrance last time, so we're putting encumbrance in this book. Or we didn't include, here's 68 more spells.
Right.
It's not that. It's exactly what it says it should be here is it's bringing those characters further along.
It's a great resource for it in its own way. It's a great resource even for the players,
even for the players. And even for, I want to say this, even for campaigns that are not levels 11 through 20,
because
the storytelling tips and so on,
because
and so
you can
forth.
Lead them down a path
right.
of excellence and greatness.
Yes. There it is. Gonna run you about $35, worth every penny of it. It's the Dungeon Master's Guide number 2. To check out more information about the Dungeon Master's Guide 2, go over to D&D Insider. That's letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com, where you can check out more information about this and other fine D&D products from our friends at Wizards of the Coast. And that is our D&D update for the week.
It's D&D Warriors that terrify. It's D&D.
And finally tonight, I know we're running up against the clock, and we're only going to touch on this because I want the man responsible for this on this program to explain himself. We're holding in our hands after long last. It's the Buck Rogers in the 25th century 12-inch action figure from Go Hero that we have been talking about, I want to say, for a year. Yeah. You think that's accurate?
At least.
Okay. 12-inch figure, fully articulated, got all the accessories, the gun, the big dome helmet, the little leather visor hat combination.
And you should say the helmet is removable.
Uh-huh.
The jetpack has multiple attachments.
Oh, yeah.
I mean...
I'm getting to it, sir.
All right.
The jetpack has multiple attachments. There. You feel better?
Yes.
Okay. There's hands, there's gloves, there's all the clothing, of course, removable. The arms pop out, so it's much easier to change the costume character or the character's costume around, whatever you're going to do with it. But I got to say, the feature that's blowing my mind is the MP3 player inside the middle of this figure. It's unbelievable. And it comes with a remote control, OG.
And the remote is what? Just for the MP3 player?
Just for the MP3 okay. player, right? So you can actually turn it on and right. play the MP3s right out of the figure. And there's a jack in the side.
It's a USB jack.
USB jack. You can plug your figure right into your computer and load whatever you want onto this thing.
Right.
It's unbelievable. And it actually comes with an original Buck Rogers radio show from the, whatever, 30s, I guess, right? Something
Damn.
Like that.
That remote's got some distance on it, too.
I know.
25 feet,
25
sir.
Feet. And guess what else?
What?
MP3 player. Ready? Yeah. You charge it. You charge it through the USB. Nice. No battery to replace. I mean,
it's a solid piece.
It's crazy, and the thing looks awesome. It's so much better than any of us ever thought it was going to be.
I can't wait to see some of the other stuff he's got coming.
Well, how about this? They're going to release this. They're going to release a naked version of this figure.
Yeah.
Not Buck Rogers, but just like a generic body.
It's a generic 1/6 scale body with the internal sound device.
Unbelievable. You know exactly. I have to have one. So we should say this is not the full review we want to give this thing because I don't want to do that without Steve Ford. We should say it comes in an awesome oldie looking wooden box. The panel slides Maple. Off the front. It's got the wood burned Buck Rogers and logos and stuff on it. Absolutely an awesome. Awesome piece. They're limited edition. 1,000 of them have been made. We got number 841 of the limited edition 1/6 scale figure. This is absolutely incredible. I think Steve Ford has done the impossible. Steve Ford, an independent guy, made a 12-inch figure that I think blows away anything we've seen recently.
Definitely the unique qualities. There are unique qualities of this that are unmatched and unrivaled.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Just the technology alone. The MP3 player inside the figure. I mean, the possibilities are endless. I mean, if he doesn't sell a million of these to custom guys alone, I'd be stunned.
Yeah, the figure itself is going to do well, but the blank bodies are going to do.
And the articulation is perfect. It's great. Everything pops in and out so nice and easily. Oh, it's just, what a success.
You're a good head sculptor, and you're a good tailor at making the clothing pieces. You could essentially have any talking character for anything now.
That's
it. It's done. It's done.
That's it. And talking character, you can get the lines right from the movie put them in. Do I even need to tell you where I'm going with this? When I get my first blank body? I'm just saying.
All right.
I mean, it should be fairly obvious.
I feel you.
I'm just saying. I mean, incredible. The man should be beside himself with pride. Steve Ford, it's gohero.com, I think, right?
Yes.
Check it out over there. If you haven't got one yet, try to still get one. Get one of the ones that's coming down the pipe. Find out when the generics are going on sale if you like this sort of thing. Absolutely incredible. And let's get Steve Ford on this show next week or the week after so we can talk about the tail end of this process. We caught him in the middle of the process, but then there was a large delay. We want to find out all about that stuff.
Sure.
And with that, let's take our final break, and we'll be right back. Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 163, Low, introducing Low in the Mix.
Hey, this is OG. Big Kev's Geek Stuff reaches tons of listeners each month across multiple platforms, and now so can you. If you're trying to reach the geek community, Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers some great advertising opportunities for your products or services at great rates. You won't find a better way to reach your target market than through advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So head over to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link and start reaching potential new buyers immediately.
Wow. With all the flair and delivery of a corpse.
Hello, this is Neil Gaiman, writer of lots of different things, really. And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
What the fuck is happening?
Geek Stuff is wrapping up.
New production.
Pretty.
OG, what did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
We have a Murdoch. Charlto Copley is going to be playing Murdoch in the upcoming AT&T.
Wow, really?
It's a movie film. It's all about the iPhone. God, where the fuck did that come from? The A-Team film. In addition to that, Mattel is divorcing Warner Brothers, moving forward with the Masters of the Universe film. Whedon has a Willow one-shot comic book coming out. And hopefully, Disney won't fuck with Marvel. We talk about that yet again.
Speaking of fucking with Marvel, Marvel is fucking with DC with Necrotia, a scarily close miniseries or crossover event, much like Blackest Night that's happening in DC. We also talk about five what-if titles that are coming from Marvel, one-shots, exploring what might have happened in different circumstances with certain events.
Pirates of the Caribbean 4 on Stranger Tides, the cheapest Muppet movie ever made, and the Disney horror label, Disney Double Dare, spearheaded by Guillermo del Toro. Also, we have National Treasure 3, Frankenweenie, and the Yellow Submarine 3D version coming out. In addition to The Sorcerer's Apprentice, we may like only because of Jay Baruchel. And I don't know how I feel about the Dancing Mops.
They'll look good. Comics this week, Captain America Reborn, number 3. Wednesday Comics, number 11. Batman and Robin, number 4. Lone Ranger, number 18. Vengeance of Moon Knight, number 1. Daredevil, Dark Reign, The List, one shot, number 1. A couple of trades, Spider-Man Noir, the collected miniseries. Should say also it's a smaller format.
Yeah, I kind of like that, though.
Yeah, we don't know if they're going to do a larger one. We couldn't ascertain
I'm
that
down
today.
With that.
And the hardcover version of Kevin Smith's Batman Cacophony also hitting the stands this
nice.
Week.
DVDs out this week include a plethora of goodness.
Yes, The Big Bang Theory, the complete second season on DVD, as well as X-Men Origins Wolverine. Meh.
Army of Darkness, the Screwhead Edition. American Werewolf in London, the Special Edition. And there's probably something else that I'm missing.
In our D&D segment tonight, we talked about the Dungeon Master's Guide 2. Check it out over at dndinsider.com, letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com, where you can check out this and all D&D 4th edition products made by Wizards of the Coast.
Sweet. And wrapping up the show this evening. Jesus, I can't talk. An awesome figure, 1/6 scale from Go Hero. This is the Buck Rogers Masterpiece. That's what I'm calling it.
I agree.
Masterpiece.
12-inch figure. Check it out over at www.inthe25thcentury.com. That's in the letter 25thcentury.com. And absolutely a stunning achievement in 12 inches. Got an MP3 player inside with a remote. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. What a success story for Go Hero. They should be very proud. We got to get Steve Ford on this show to talk about that. And I think that's everything.
Don't forget, you can check us out each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where you can get each and every episode, as well as the photo gallery, some links. We still have some T-shirts for sale over there. We don't have the commentary.
Are we getting more requests?
Stop emailing us about the commentary. One or two a week. Where were these people when it was for sale?
For a year.
For a, over a year. A year and a half. We don't have it. There are no more DVDs. The MP3s are done. We don't have it.
Don't have it.
Sorry, folks. QQ Moore, someplace else. We don't have it.
I'll recommend you visit the Big Apple Con New York and visit
Melody Anderson.
Melody Anderson, who definitely has some left, and she'd love to sell them to you. So there's the solution for that problem.
You can also catch us each and every week over at Geekerdome.com, along with a plethora of other goodness. And I think that's about it.
I want to say one more thing.
All right.
You know, we had George and Aileen from October Toys in here last week.
We did, and we want to thank them again for coming out and hanging with us.
Yes, it was a good time. They're good people.
Very they are good people.
Yes.
That said, they live in L.A.
They do.
Not close.
I think if they lived on the East Coast,
right,
we would be able to hang out with them more. Aileen would play D&D with us.
There is that.
You know, George would brood around. You know, like, I don't mean in a bad way. I mean in that I'm a vinyl artist way.
Okay.
That kind of thing. And I think they're good people, and I would really like to hang out with them and spend time with them because I think they're such good people.
Right.
I want to start the campaign right now.
A campaign?
I would like every listener of this program to pull up their keyboard and send an email to info@octobertoys.com. That's info@octobertoys.com. And tell George and Aileen of October Toys, maybe it's time to move the operations to the East Coast.
Well, we should at least tell the people to listen to Toy Break while they're over there.
Well, sure. I mean, they can go over and check out Toy Break, of course.
Well, look, I'm just thinking if you're gonna attack these people's mailbox, we should have the people the show also.
There's no attacking, sir. This is merely our... You know, they're kind of
an outreach program.
Yeah, they're kind of they're a little on the fence about it. They're like, maybe we could, we kind of want to, but when we did, it's always, it's kind of, they're in the middle of the fence there. And I'm saying maybe the fans of this program can help them make the ultimate decision of moving back east for one of them and to the east for the other one. So,
all right. How fast do you forget that they brought us ding-dongs?
Yes, we should thank them for that.
So thank you.
Those ding-dongs got cleared like a hurdler.
My eating on mic was considered disruptive and aggravating to some.
Really?
Yes. And I explained to that person that that was a bit that we do on occasion, that we don't do it all the time, and it was meant to be annoying, so poo-poo.
Well, was it Jesse?
No, it wasn't Jesse.
Damn it, Jesse.
It wasn't Valium Boy.
Damn it, Jesse.
Valium Jesse from Buffalo.
It was not him.
And that said, let's say it again. An email to info@octobertoys.com. Let them know it's time for them to move east where all their friends are, where they could have wonderfully exciting and enriched lives here with us on the East Coast. This is not slighting anybody on the West Coast, I should say.
Absolutely.
Just for those particular people, they would have a much better time living with us here on the East Coast.
All right.
So there.
There it is.
That's that.
All right.
And with that, we'll turn the mic over to Low in the Mix, DJ Lit M, and ask, do you have any final words for Big Kev's Geek Stuff? Episode 163, introducing Low in the Mix.
Fuck you, Brett Ratner. Can you hear me now, asshole?
And on that note, we cue the music.
Come to this, we try to warn you all, but oh dear, you may not share our intellect, which might explain your disrespect for all the natural wonders that grow around you. We thought that most of you would sleep, especially tiny tots in your bed and women. So long, so long, so long, so long, so long.
We would all